Welcome to Total Picture Radio, the voice of career advocacy and leadership development. Our coverage of the 2008 North American Neuro Leadership Summit is sponsored by Deloitte LLP. With access to the deep intellectual capital of 120,000 people worldwide, Deloitte's member firms serve over 80% of the Fortune Global 500. If you crave challenge in audit, tax, consulting, or financial advisory services, visit Deloitte on the web at careers.deloitte.com. This is Peter Clayton reporting from the Neuro Leadership Summit in New York City, and joining me is Millie Grineau, who is a performance enhancement coach and a clinical instructor in psychology social work at Yale University School of Medicine. Her passion is to help individuals and groups reach their full potential while remaining sane and healthy, which I think is a really great thing to be doing. So, Millie, thank you so much for joining us on Total Picture Radio.
Thank you. It's a delight to be with you here.
At 7:30 this morning, I walked into your session, and the first thing I did was grab a small stone out of a bowl, which is the first time I've ever done that in a conference. And then you proceeded to talk a lot about meditation, and you've written a book on meditation, which are 60-second strategies for a balance in a business world. The book is called Oasis in the Overwhelm, which I think is a great title, and certainly something that is very relevant to what's going on in the world today.
And it's so practical for all of us because we're almost always in the fast lane, and so is our culture. So I thought, what's an easy way, a simple way? It's not always easy to stop even for 60 seconds, but people are hungry for, oh, how can I just take a break for a little bit to get back to what's really real?
To your point, I mean, people in corporations today are so stressed out and wondering if they're going to have a job tomorrow. So I think this becomes even more important and more critical to your overall health and well-being to be able to, I mean, even for 60 seconds, to be able to take that deep breath. So can you give us a few techniques that we can use to be able to do this, to slow down for 60 seconds and take that deep breath and really get more in touch with what's going on within ourselves?
Sure. Let's do the breath one now. We could do body and breath. So right now, just put your hand on your belly. And I sometimes tease and tell people the bigger the belly, the better. It's just really know that you have a body and that you can put your hand on it to make more contact. And what you'll do right now is just let the exhale, let all the breath go out clear from where you're sitting. Just feel that go. And you can feel your belly go in. And nature abhors a vacuum, so if you let it all out, it will just come in fresh. So let it come in and feel your belly receiving that fresh air. And now just let it sail out again, and let your worries sail out with it because they don't need to stay in your stomach. And let some fresh come in. Again, just make a lot of room for it. And one more time, just, and let it come back in fresh. And I'll ask you, do you notice anything different now from, well, that was about 45, 50 seconds ago? What do you notice right now in you?
I notice I'm a little more calm than I was. We've been running around here for 3 days, and I've been recording interviews left and right. So it's been pretty intense. And not only that, but the information that I've been learning over the last 3 days. I mean, people are running around with signs that say my brain hurts, and that is certainly my case because, you know, all of this stuff about the frontal lobe and things lighting up and in response to certain other things I do radio. So. But it's been an intense but a marvelous experience at the same time. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, Millie, is I listened to
a tape several days ago of David Lynch, and you know he was talking about his movies, but he was also talking a lot about meditation and how he uses meditation to really get into his creative state. Mm-hmm. And I've never been able to meditate, so it's something that I've really been interested in trying to understand how you do, because you know, again, the stress levels are just so intense out there that I, even for those people who have poo-pooed this, oh, you know, meditation, that's, you know, that's for the yoga people, and that's, you know, I'm in business, you know, I don't do that. Yeah. So how do you respond to that kind of a attitude towards meditation for high-performance executives, mm-hmm. who really need to be able to calm down for a few minutes so they can actually put together a coherent thought?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's precisely one that's really important. A lot of times when I'm talking with people like that, I don't even use the word meditation, or I don't use the word mindfulness. It really depends on the person. I might say, ooh, are you interested in focusing a bit more? Would you like to have more clarity? And I'll tell you a story about one of my favorite clients. He was just inaugurated as the CEO of a big organization, and I was at the inauguration. His wife came up to me and said, would you, and he doesn't mind if I tell this story. He tells, okay, Millie, you could tell it now. She said, I wish you could help Tony. He's just in his early 50s, and he's already had 2 heart attacks. He's so excited about this new job, but he just doesn't know how to slow down. I said, well, we'll see. So she brought me over, introduced, and he says, oh, Millie, great to meet you. How are you? Da 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 da. And then his wife said something. He said, oh, stress management. I'm a type AA personality and proud of it. I don't have time for that stuff. So I said, Tony, I don't want you to lose your fire. I would love it, if it seems right to you, to spend some time with you so you can use your fire. And that's what I mean by staying sane and healthy. He said, oh, great meeting you, Millie. Not a word from him till about a month later. I think his wife was behind him and made him call. Oh, Millie, I think I got an hour. Could I come to your office and see what you can do? So he came for an hour. I taught him this simple moving the body, the 4 directions. I taught him the breath thing. And remember this morning, that stone that you picked up? He learned that. And the simple stone is focusing on something with your eyes open. It's not about retreating or going someplace. So he kind of liked that. You know, it's like, oh, this is real. And taking 10 easy breaths. So he was there 45 minutes, an hour, thanked me. Great, Millie, thanks. And nothing from him. But about 5 months later, I was walking in downtown New Haven. He sees me, his 3-piece suit. Millie, how are you doing? Takes out his hand, shakes my hand. He had the stone in his hand. He's been carrying it in his pocket. That was 7 years ago. I saw him 5 months ago. He still carries that stone. I don't want to slow him down or make him lose his energy or his fire. It's like, oh, even athletes have to take breaks, you know? It's when we restore ourselves. And I would love to work with you more so that you can use your wonderful energy and get those breaks. It might not be sitting quietly for a half an hour. It might be something different for you that helps you, yeah, just come back.
That's a wonderful story. And you told a wonderful story this morning in this session about going into a grade school and working with, I think it was 9 and 10-year-olds. And you know, I have a daughter who's 13, and I have a daughter who's 6. And you're absolutely right. The stresses these kids face in school today are just extraordinary. Can you share the story you told us this morning about going into this classroom?
Yeah, that's great, because a friend of mine who works in the 5th grade middle school said, Millie, can you come? Because our kids are having a lot of trouble with bullying and impulse control. And we kind of laughed and we said, we know some adults who have trouble with bullying and impulse control. So I said, oh, I'll go in and see what we can do. So I went there and I asked them, what I ask people right at the beginning is, first of all, what do you appreciate about yourself? Really starting with the positive. What do you like? So 5th graders, what do you imagine they would say? What would a 10, 11-year-old say? It was like, I can run fast, or I got a new pair of sneakers, or I got some friends, or whatever. So then I asked, well, what are some of the things that get you upset or sad or mad, like you want to hit somebody or somebody does something to you? And we made a whole list. I remember when I was in the fifth grade, we were tough. And there were some kids who were in and some who were out. So they made the list of, like, nobody invites me to their parties, or my mom and dad are fighting, or my brother does something and I get blamed for it, or the teacher calls on me and I don't know it and I feel stupid. So I said, you know, we adults get our feelings hurt too, and I get mine. And one of the things that I do, I did similar to what I just did with you. I said, put your hands on your belly, and here's what I do to kind of chill. I say chill with mill, you know? So it's like, oh, just blow it out. Start with an exhale and just, and let it come in fresh. And let it blow out again, and they put their hands on their bellies, and they, and in, and do it one more time. And they know enough science to know if you blow it out, nature abhors a vacuum and it'll come in fresh. So they did it, and I said, did you notice any difference? And they didn't say anything. So I came back the next week and I said, okay, just wanted to check in to see how did things go. And this one kid who had not said a word the week before, Miss Grinnell, I did the 3BC. I said, great, what's your name? He said, Gary. I said, what's the 3BC? Because I hadn't said a word about 3BC. He said, you know, the three-breath countdown. And I said, that's a great name, Gary. When did you use it? And he said, well, I was in gym class, and I hate gym class because nobody ever chooses me. And I was on the bench, and I was sitting there, and I thought, I'm going to cry. And then I just remembered, and I put my hands on my belly, and I went, and you know what? I didn't cry, and somebody chose me. So I felt so good, and I thought, when I'm going home, I better teach my mom, because she really gets mad a lot. I think she should know this. And then he told this big, long story about, he said, Mom, I learned something in school today. I want to teach. I'm too busy, Gary. Can't you tell? I just got home from work. I'm fixing supper. Don't bother me. And he said, Mom, I'll do the dishes tonight for you if you will sit down with me 1 minute. So he finally got her to do it. So he taught her how to do it. And she said to him, Gary, I don't have time to do a 3BC. And Gary said, I told her, Mom, if you can't do a 3BC, do a 1BC, okay? So that was Gary and the three-breath countdown.
And I think that really brings to the fore what we were talking about, is how stressed out people feel. Because if you can't do a 3BC, I mean, what is going on in your life?
And you know, it's really interesting. It's both kids and adults. One of my coach clients, who's a VP of a big firm, has incredible road rage, and rage with his family. And he began to recognize that. And so I said, maybe try, you know, let's try this little, he has like a 45-minute commute on a superhighway every day there and every day back. And I asked him, when do you usually notice your road rage? First of all, he didn't know when he noticed it, but he began thinking, so we reported back next week. When somebody's slow in front of me, it drives me nuts. When somebody cuts around me or whatever, there's a traffic jam. And he began to notice when he felt it, and he also noticed what his knee-jerk reactions were. Was either like honk the horn like crazy, flip a bird, or hit the gas pedal. And that was just automatic. He was just rage. He'd get home in a terrible mood. He'd holler at his wife, kids, don't bother me now. I just had a hard day. He began doing this simple three-breath countdown to change that knee-jerk reaction, just to catch it. Catching it took him a long time. He caught it 3 times the first week. But he began to notice, oh, I have some control over this. I can do something different. So physiologically, by shifting that, he was literally changing what was happening in his brain and in his intestinal system. And he was also controlling his motions. So gradually, he wanted to get home and see the wife. And he said, yeah, Patrick's 16. He's going to be gone next year. So it shifted his whole outlook on things by doing that simple thing and beginning to make that his response instead of the knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, that's a marvelous story. And, you know, it shows the power of what you can do if you, I guess it's called reframe. That's what people around here call it. If you just reframe what is going on within yourself. And again, one of the things that has been so fascinating for me is all the stuff about neuroplasticity and the fact that you really can, if you are aware, change the way your brain functions.
Absolutely. And that's so exciting because I say when I was in Kentucky in college, that's where I grew up, and I can remember my psych professors then saying, Millie, you're 21, you better learn everything you can now, because in a few years it's all downhill, you'll lose your neurons. And they're finding out in the last 10, 15 years that's totally false. We continue to make new neurons throughout our life. And the neuroplasticity, I ask people when I do workshops, how many know that word? And a lot of them do. And I said, you're smarter than my computer because spell check doesn't recognize neuroplastic. But the fact is we continue to make new neurons throughout our lives, and we influence which neurowiring grows and which diminishes by what we choose to do and not do. And that's incredible. Incredible power.
Well, Millie, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us here on Total Picture Radio. It's really been a delight to meet you.
Thanks a lot. It was a pleasure.
We've been speaking with Millie Greneau, who is the author of Oasis in the Overwhelm, 60-Second Strategies for Balancing in a Busy World. Be sure to visit Total Picture Radio, that's totalpicture.com, for more information and resource links regarding today's podcast. Total Picture Radio's coverage of the 2008 North American Neuroleadership Summit is sponsored by Deloitte LLP, recruiting the best and helping them achieve the most. If you're always asking yourself, what next? Check out Deloitte's challenging career opportunities at careers.deloitte.com. This is Peter Clayton reporting. Thank you for tuning into Total Picture Radio, the voice of career advocacy and leadership development.